Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Life. Call his wife and hey, 403. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 2 hours down, one more to go on this Tuesday morning. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side. And we've been talking a little bit about the Mets, obviously, as I just did a little bit on the Mets, as they had a come from behind, late inning, Iglesias clutch hit, extra inning victory with a walk-off base hit by Starling Marte. And another incredible pitching performance from Manaea, who's just been, unfathomably good. And then we've also talked a lot about the football game last night, Monday Night Football, as the Eagles blew a game. They absolutely had one. They allowed Kirk Cousins to go down the field, score a primetime Kirk Cousins to go down the field, put it in the end zone with a few seconds left, and beat the Eagles in their home opener, the first game that they have lost in September in their last seven tries. And obviously, to go along with, at the end of the game, looking to ice it, on third and three, they decide to, with no timeouts for Atlanta, to run a pass play to Saquon Barkley in the flat. It would have absolutely ended the game, and Saquon Barkley dropped the ball. And I was just a little perturbed and a little puzzled by the reaction of so many Giant fans. And again, I know everyone's going to point to the Marash video. Yeah, him. I'm not calling him out specifically, but yeah, him. He did it. But not only him, everyone. I was driving in listening to calls with Keith. I had buddies of mine texting me, ha ha, Saquon Barkley, another drop pass. Like, we're gloating. Like, Saquon Barkley's not a Giant anymore because he dropped too many passes. We all know why Saquon Barkley's not here anymore, because he's too good. And it's not justified with the rest of the slop that the Giants provide. And never mind the fact that Neighbors, their new offensive guy, the new guy we expect to carry this offense, because God knows where touchdowns are coming from. We expect it from Neighbors, and he was great in game one. He did the exact same thing and dropped a pass that could have won them the game. And yet here we are after getting blown out in game one at home against the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold, and then losing a game in a fashion unlike the NFL has ever seen in its long storied history, in scoring three touchdowns and not giving up any. Not having a kicker from the opening kickoff. And we're trying to get our kicks and enjoy our football season by laughing at Saquon Barkley. I thought the Giant fans absolutely embarrassed themselves. Anybody who's gloating. Now, I love watching Philadelphia lose, and I have no problem rooting for Saquon to drop that pass, enjoying watching him drop the pass. I have no problem laughing at the coach who thought he reinvented the wheel when he declined the penalty on an offsides earlier in the drive that, you know, prevented them from getting a first down, that allowed them to get a first down on the tush push and create more plays and make Atlanta use more timeouts, only to not make them use their last time, or not only to give them more time on the clock by calling a run play. I mean, I love the coach is an idiot. I love they pass up points in the first quarter. I love the fact that this defense allowed Kirk Cousins to go down the field in less than a minute to stick the ball in the end zone to beat him. I love all of it. I love it. I'm a Giant fan. I want Philadelphia to lose. But I can't sit here and try to justify my horrendous team by saying, ha ha, Philadelphia, now you get Saquon Barkley and his three touchdowns last week that came with a drop pass, like we all knew. Like the Giants are better off. You know why? Because they can't justify paying good players because they suck. But we're going to enjoy this one. Enjoy it, Giant fans. Enjoy it. I have a tough time enjoying anything Giant related. I have a tough time mocking anyone, especially an organization that has kicked my ass for 24 years. The last time, and this isn't a joke, unless you can go find me one, the last time the Giants beat the Eagles in a meaningful game, Ron Dixon ran the kickoff back in the 2000 playoffs. That's the last time. I'm sure it was 2001 in January, but it was a 2000 season. Football gets tricky like that. But you got me. Ron Dixon running back the kickoff is the last time the Giants won a meaningful game. And we're going to laugh because Saquon Barkley dropped a pass. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to put our feet up. We're going to put our smoking jackets on, kick our feet up like Brian Daboll in Hard Knocks, sip on martinis and laugh. Barkley dropped a pass. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. Especially our guy just did the same thing. But, okay, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Let's get back to the calls. Anything you want to talk about? The Met game, obviously back in on the field tonight against the Nationals. The Yankees will be out in Seattle late night. I'll be on right after the game. So plenty to talk to, as well as the football. Either of our two terrible football teams are on the table as well. Let me take a second and listen to this, because apparently this audio has been making the rounds here. Scott Van Pelt, out of the two-minute warning previewing the post-game show, I guess put his foot in his mouth or said something that ends up making him look bad. So let's hear this. Liegelman's wanted to play it.
We're going to visit with Joe and Troy, show you the key moments of this game and take you inside the winning locker room, which appears it will be the home seed. We'll see you when this one is done. Go, Troy, back to you.
With what was the time on the clock?
1:51. It was before the second down play where Saquon gets 3 yards, and right. Then the third down was the drop.
Yeah. It appears it'll be the home team. Listen, they had a 97.6 win percentage. Like they're supposed to win that game easy. And again, not to break down a Philadelphia game necessarily, but what, like, throwing the pass is stupid. Yes, Saquon Barkley dropped it, 100%. Both can be true. It could be a bad play call and a well-executed one that should have won the game, and Saquon Barkley dropped the ball, no doubt. Now, again, it's almost the same thing. You know, you don't have to go down the field and blow the – you don't have to allow Kirk Cousins to pick you apart in a minute to lose the game. But, yes, they should have ran the football. And the way they were running the football – Saquon Barkley was running the football effectively earlier in the drive on second and 10. He got 9 yards. That was initially called a first down. They pushed it back a yard to make it third and one. Like, he was getting 9 yards a clip. And you don't want to run the football to run as much clock as you get. And even if he gets a couple yards and comes up short on fourth down and you want to end the game right there, you have a fourth and one play in your pocket that is unstoppable. That NFL players and coaches and pundits and fans alike want to have banned from the NFL because you're so good at it. Why in the world would you risk the one thing that could beat you, a drop pass? It's the one thing that can beat you other than a turnover. And I know you could fumble, I get it, but it's just so dumb. I'd rather focus on that. Don't get me wrong, I like watching Philadelphia lose, I do. I was rooting for Saquon Barkley to fail in that spot, of course. But I'm not gonna gloat and take on, you know, Eagles fans and try, like, and again, it's everyone. I saw it everywhere. Because Saquon Barkley dropped 16 passes since 2021 and leads the league. Like, that's the reason he's not a Giant. He didn't make enough plays. He wasn't good enough. That's why he's not a Giant. And ha-ha, now he's your problem, Philadelphia. Now he's your problem. Okay. Limo driver Ed in Pennsylvania. What's up, limo driver Ed?
Oh, come on, Chris. Come on. Yeah, we're living out here in Pennsylvania, you know, with Barkley. Everybody's happy because he's right next town's over from me in Whitehall.
Yeah, well, they're not happy after last night, I'm sure.
Well, no, they're not. But you know what? Everybody was talking about the defense.
That's embarrassingly
bad. Yeah, it's very. And guess what? Past two games, where's our boy Huff at? Because I'm a Jets fan, you know that.
Nowhere to be found. Right, I mean, that's another little side story. As the Jets lose Jermaine Johnson, and now you know everyone's going to clamor for them to go back hat in hand to sign Reddick. And, oh, they should have just signed Huff to begin with. Huff can't see the field for Philadelphia. Even in pass rush situations, even in third and long, he's not seeing the field.
Not even seeing the field, bro. And all that money they paid him.
Amazing.
And real quick on Pete bet on himself, and you know he lost. You know, I mean, but you know what? It's always the owner out there too, man, will pay you the money. It's always. You know, regardless of if the Mets don't pay him, okay, save money, get some hitters, get some pitchers, things that you need. But I don't know, man. You know, looking at him, he lost. He's not judged. He bet on himself, and he won big time. But Pete, And he's not a clutch hitter, man. He's not a clutch hitter.
Well, I see. I don't. This year, for certain. Not a clutch hitter. I don't know if that was a title pinned on him prior to this season. I just don't know. I thought his rookie season in particular, and I know it's going back a ways, but 2019, his rookie season, I thought he was incredibly clutch. I'd have to go back and find the numbers on that, but I remember him being really clutch. And I've always thought that he was, you know, it's not like what he's known for. He's known for hitting home runs. I don't know if he's known for hitting, you know, game-tying home runs, big home runs. He's had his moments, though. This year in particular, no doubt. And whether or not he's going to get that contract, that ship may have sailed. I don't know. But what I can tell you is the feeling the Mets and the Met fans and even the Mets organization will have about him if he turns it on here in the absence of Lindor and takes them to the postseason and then performs well there. I still think it can help him in a contract, and I think it helps him within standing in this organization. Like, it's not too late to wipe away the bitter taste of a bad season. If the Mets were six games out, too late. They're a game up. Right now, the offense is ice cold. Right now, they are sputtering to score runs. Right now, the guy who has led them here, their MVP, arguably, the league's MVP, is on the shelf with a back problem. Now is the time, if he steps up now and overtakes that role and is the guy who leads them there and hits big home runs and comes through in the clutch, he had an opportunity last night, didn't do it. But if he does it, he can change the narrative around him real quick. That's the gift of being on good teams. It's the gift of playing postseason baseball. It's the gift of being in a pennant race. And right now he's not interested in taking on gifts. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Seems like every night, C-Mac, I watch a New York Met pitcher go into the seventh inning and give his team a chance to win. And Gerrit Cole is pitching 5.1 innings this year to a 4 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's been a down year for him, no doubt about it. He's coming off of an injury. There's no doubt about it. But, yes, it's been a down year for him.
The money you would extend him with, what, three relievers and a journeyman starter? I wouldn't pay Gerrit Cole $20 million a year.
No, you're nuts.
Let alone extend him for 36.
You're nuts.
He is living off what he did with the Houston Astros.
He won the Cy Young last year.
He won the Cy Young award last year. First start. Anyone who voted for him for the Cy Young last year should have their vote taken from him.
He almost won unanimously.
6.1 innings a start? You don't get paid $30 million to leave a third of the game.
In today's day and age, you do. Today's day and age, you do.
That's because the GMs haven't caught up. That's going to stop. You're going to start drafting starting pitchers, maybe paying one guy if you're World Series capable team, and you're going to have a huge loaded
You need an ace in the postseason. Gerrit Cole has been that for them.
He has been, but he's not an ace.
Yes,
he's not going to pitch up
ace.
Seven innings in a postseason
Why
game.
Not?
He's going to get shelled in five.
Oh, stop. Come on now. Listen, maybe I'm down on him. I don't really feel like defending Cole right now because I'm down on him for what he did on Saturday walking Devers, but stop.
Give him another year, though.
I have to.
No, you do what the Mets did. You go find Luis Severino.
No, they had Luis Severino. That didn't work out. And that happens once in a while. Okay, let's see what happens next year when you got to pay Luis Severino. You can't go around just finding one-year contracts. Good luck with that.
Sevy, 2 years, $40 million. Yeah. Sevy, 2 years, $40 million.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess Montgomery was a serviceable starter. Look what he's done. You think Seve's going to be good for the next 2 years? That guy can't stay healthy. You want to talk? This is the first year he's been healthy since 2018. You want to guarantee him money? Gerrit Cole is healthy other than this year. Every single year.
Money. And certainly not $36 million. I'll go
he's already making $36 million.
I will pick up starters off the dustbin every single year.
That's easy to say off of a regular season. I don't disagree. On a regular season, the value of a starting pitcher can be minimized. The bullpen, totally agree with everything you're saying. Come postseason time, you need good starting pitching. And Gerrit
Cole is
telling
me minimum 7 innings from Cole game 1.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
If he comes out in the 6, he comes out to booze.
No. Get
that's
out!
Ridiculous,
it's
man.
Not ridiculous.
Then call
stop.
Him a relief pitcher.
Stop.
Call him an opener.
Stop,
what
man.
He's
get
an
out.
Opener.
It's not 1985, bro. Get over it. Stop. Stop. It is what it is. He's got to pitch. You know, he's got to pitch 6 innings and put up zeros on 1 run. That's it. They train these guys different. They do it differently. It's just not the same. It's not the same. He's a strikeout pitcher. They strike out a lot of batters. They don't go as deep into the game. Plus, it's a more specialized game where they want to get to their relievers. It's not the it's not the 1998 Tampa Bay Rays where you got to the middle of the bullpen. You wanted to get to the bullpen as soon as possible. These guys coming out of the bullpen throw 99 miles an hour, and they're designed just to get left-handed hitters out. And it gives you a different look where you don't see the starting pitcher for a third or fourth time. They dive deeper into the numbers. It's not the same game. Gerrit Cole probably could go deeper into some games. They take him out. Right. And Cole, you want to talk about 6.1? Who threw more innings than Cole last year? He led Major League Baseball in innings pitched. He pitched more than anyone else. Like, this is an argument. You're just not making any sense. Like, this year, off of an injury, kind of hasn't got his season started. Totally agree. It's a forgotten year for him. This is strictly about how he performs from this moment on. Everything else before this means nothing for Gerrit Cole. I don't view it as a good season. I don't view it as a bad season. It's a non-season. Now, if they miss the playoffs, I would have a different opinion. If he came in and was so bad that he couldn't get them over the hump, or, you know, he's terrible the next week and they blow the division lead, then, okay, it's a bad year. But for the most part, they're probably going to win the division. They're certainly going to the playoffs. And whatever he does from there out is all I'll care about. This is a forgotten year coming off an elbow injury. Forgotten year. The 2 years prior, you're talking about innings pitched. You want to go to specifically innings per game? He makes more starts than anybody, and he pitches more innings than anybody. Like, you're picking the wrong dude to make this argument about. And you want to talk about how many, and I know he's injured this year, and maybe moving forward it will be a disaster. I don't know. But you want to talk about a sport where these pitchers are hurt all the freaking time. You want to pay Severino. Severino can't stay healthy. This is the first year since 2018 the guy's been healthy. Gerrit Cole makes 35 starts every single season. He takes the mound every 5 days, every single season. If anyone's worth $36 million, it's Gerrit Cole. Like, what are you talking about? You want him to. So if he pitches 6 shutout innings and comes out after the 6th inning, he should come out to booze? Because he didn't get you another 3 outs? When the Yankees have 5 or 6 guys in the bullpen throwing 90 miles an hour designed just to get out certain hitters with their stuff? Like, stop. Just stop. It's not Nolan Ryan. It's not 1980s. It's not the 1990s. It's a different game. It's a different game. And yes, right now, as you mentioned, the Mets pitchers, Manaea happens to be a guy who's gone out there and gone 6 2/3 almost every single time. He's pitched into the 7th inning a lot. He's done a remarkable job. He's on one hell of a run. I would probably, looking at his numbers, I would say over the last 3 or 4 years, Cole's probably got more complete games than most any other pitcher in baseball. Like, you're picking the wrong guy to have the argument about. And I'm in no mood to defend the guy because he was a coward on Saturday. But let's not make it seem. And I'm only extending him 1 year. I've guaranteed him 9. I guess if he opts out, I could just move on from him. I suppose that's an argument. Sure, that would give you no. You better sign Juan Soto then. But you need him. You need him. Severino. Who knows what Severino is going to do in the postseason? You need your bet. You need big time starting pitching. You might not need it over the course of 162. In fact, they had their best stretch of baseball when he wasn't pitching, amazingly enough. I'm open to that. During the year, the position player is far more valuable. And if I was paying money, I agree with you. I'd much rather pay a position player. They stay healthier. They're more productive. They impact the 162 a lot more, no doubt. Doesn't change the fact that if you have a stud ace like Gerrit Cole, and that's what he's been, he impacts your playoff performance at an enormous level. And they need him. They need him. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just real quick before I get to the Met game, you know, I was just telling Fleek, you know, it's funny with the way football's been the last couple of seasons with the lack of participation in the preseason. It's almost like not even worth going into the survivor pools anymore.
I usually try and beat the prohibitive like pick. I picked Seattle week one because I wanted to stay away from Cincinnati, but I didn't feel comfortable with a single other pick besides Baltimore last week. I just didn't I didn't feel comfortable with a single other pick. I wish I would have. I got knocked out of the big one I'm in with, like, you know, a couple thousand people in it, but
yeah, and I'm sure a lot lost this week too, right?
Baltimore. Baltimore probably knocked out a half the pool. It had to have.
Yeah. So, look. Yeah, I want Alonzo here, you know, just as much as anybody else. But, you know, what you said a few minutes ago, I mean, you know, what kind of faith do you have that Pete's going to be able to turn it on the last
week and a half?
I mean, just, you know, that's it. I mean, so it's just like, you know, as much as you say to him, you know, you want your time to shine, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just, I mean, maybe a game or two, but he's shown so far. I mean, the season's virtually over already as far as the number of games. I mean, I just don't have the faith in him that he's going to be able to go on a 6-7-8 game.
I mean, they got. I think I hear you, man, and thank you for the call. It's 12 games I think they have left. No, of course not. They've played 150. They got 12 left. He's been what he's been for 150. Do I expect the next 12 to be dramatically different? No, I don't. It doesn't mean it's not impossible. And all I'm saying is I'm telling you, if these 12 are dynamic, if these 12 are hot as a pistol and carried them into the playoffs, it will help you forget the first 150. That's just a fact. It's how it works. If he especially in the next handful of games with the absence of Lindor, if they win a game 4-0 and he drives in 3 runs on a 3-run home run, or they win a game, you know, 6-4 and he drove in 5 of those runs, I'm telling you right now, if that happens if that's what he starts to do in these 12 games with Lindor not being there, knowing someone had to step up, that he had the luxury. Of being able to be on this team with Lindor doing what Lindor was doing, and for a long stretch having the most players in the lineup and the above average OPS, and top to bottom they were as good as anyone and scoring a ton of runs during that stretch. He had the luxury of allowing the Mets to still get to this place they're in without him. And if in the last 12, without that luxury, without the MVP there, he's the guy who steps up and takes that place, I'm telling you right now, the feeling about his season is going to be dramatically different. Now, if he goes 0-27 in the playoffs, yeah, that will hate him again. But you can change the narrative. Can't change the numbers. It might not be able to even change his contract. I don't know. But you can change how the Met fans feel about you and how he feels about this season with the hot 12 games. It's just, if he goes out and pounds Philadelphia and they can't get him out and they win 3 or 4, and take a 2 or 3 game lead in the wild card? Bet your ass we feel a hell of a lot different.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About Pete Alonso.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting at 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:33, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Since we've been getting on fan reaction, the other ridiculous thing from the football game was the fan reaction of Jalen Brunson in an Eagles uniform. Eagles jersey. I don't know if anyone is honestly upset about that or just having fun with it, but like, if you have a problem with Jalen Brunson, who's from there, wearing an Eagles jersey, I mean, has there ever been a player for an organization here in the city who gets it more than he does and has done more? The guy literally just turned down millions to be a Knick and to give the Knicks the best opportunity to win. But don't you wear that Eagles jersey. It's crazy. I know most people are just messing around with that one, I would think, because if you're actually upset that he would wear an Eagles jersey, you're too far gone. Too far gone. Much like my next caller, leads me right into Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be friends with Jalen Brunson, but I'll root for him. You know, he's a great Nick, but I never would be friends with him, though.
Because he wore the Eagles jersey?
Oh, I'd find out more and more. If he's a diehard Eagles fan, I can't be friends with that guy. Okay. You know? No. Like, hey, you're a great Nick. I'm happy about it, but yeah, I'm not going to be friends with you.
You can't be friends with a fan of another team. Interesting. Okay, learning more and more about you, Brett. What's up?
Chris, this is why I question you being a diehard fan like you are of the Yankees, you know?
Okay.
If you're not, like, when Saquon first left, you know what? I was happy for him because he's been a great Giant. The guy's getting hit in the backfield 2 or 3 times. You know, he breaks 3 tackles and gets 2 yards. It was amazing, like Barry Sanders. So I was happy for him. And then watching week 1 when he had the 3 touchdowns and he's dancing and smiling, you know, I wasn't so happy anymore. And then last night when he had that big drop that cost him a game, now I know where I stand. I'm happy. I'm thrilled. I won't post it and make a comment on my 11 social media groups, but I'll tell you, I'm happy. How are you? Like, you can't say anything negative. You got to be happy about that. I can't stand the Eagles.
Absolutely.
And B, you know, we lost them. I don't want to see that.
No, I don't want to see him win. I was extremely happy he dropped the pass, and I'm glad he's gone too, but for different reasons, because I'm concerned about.
So what are you referring to?
I'm referring to gloating about it. Like, oh, here you go, Philadelphia. Enjoy what we've been dealing with for the last 5 years. Or, you know, like the idea that we're gloating about it when our new superstar wide receiver just did the same thing and dropped a pass that could have helped them win the game. Where, I mean, there's a difference between being happy Philadelphia lost and using it as an excuse on why he's gone and why we're better off and why, oh, here, Philadelphia, you did deal with our problem. Like, he's a problem. The fact of the matter is, he's not here because he's too good. And it's not, the rest of the roster isn't good enough to justify paying him. That's why he's not here. Not because he dropped, not because he led the NFL in drop passes from the running back position. It's not because he didn't make enough plays for the Giants. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he had some drops that hurt them. Absolutely, no doubt. He's the only one who made plays.
So, Chris, I didn't get to talk to you. What I want to hear.
Yeah,
what do you have
I'm
to
surprised.
Say?
So where were you? Where were you yesterday?
I'm off on Mondays. I sleep and I go to doctors, dentists, all that stuff, so I missed out. But, Chris.
Yes.
I learned a lot from my 11 social media groups. Now I know, right? There's people that are haters,
uh-huh.
right, of Daniel Jones, right?
Sure.
So this is a guy I'm friends with. You tell me. Just tell me this situation, please. I don't know. Maybe this happens with you with the Yankees. Because you don't care about the Giants. But
right.
I have a friend for 25 years. He knows I'm very fragile. So he left me alone all game. That's good. That's nothing. No text, nothing. He left me alone.
Right.
Game ended. He calls immediately. I don't answer. But I respectfully text back, hey, I don't feel like talking today. You know, we'll speak tomorrow. Thank you. You know, for respecting me. So then he texts me 100 messages. Oh, just admit it now. You want to move on from Daniel Jones. And I said, listen, lose my number. I don't want to be friends with people like you, right? Because you know I'm bothered by it. And I blocked, no, I'm serious. I blocked, this is a true story. I blocked him, deleted him.
Sure.
And then I waited the 24 hours and I messaged him. Like, am I wrong about that?
Yes.
Like, if you know I'm sensitive with that and I have an issue with that, Chris, you're laughing, but if you have a problem with something, and you're like one of my friends, I'm not going to bother you. If I know, you know what I mean? I understand that.
I it's sports, man. Like, do you need to defend
him? You said you don't
him?
Play for the Giants. I don't want to get into your particular set of issues here.
All I can tell you is Daniel Jones was not the problem. He played a very good game.
Do you change his opinion on him at all? Does that do anything for you?
No. Does not.
No.
No. Daniel Jones is not the future of this organization.
I don't want him to be the quarterback. You don't see it's an organizational issue, which I've been saying.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter who you plug in there. It doesn't matter. They have so many issues.
I disagree on that aspect.
Really?
I certainly think it matters who you plug in, of
you
course.
You watch the defense let Washington, who you said isn't good,
correct.
Go down the field
defense
seven
was the...
times for seven. But
correct.
That's not a talking point,
of
right?
Course.
That's terrible.
Brett, see, this is what I'm talking about. What do you mean it's not a talking point? You say you're off on Mondays. It's the only thing I talked about. All I talked about was the defense and the disgusting display and how this bend-but-don't-break mentality from this new defensive coordinator, Bowen, was absolutely atrocious. And this guy who was supposed to be here, we had that laughable moment now, laughable, in the Hard Knocks, where Brian Daboll's all giddy to show the stats of Tennessee's run defense to Joe Shane on why they should bring him. Oh, this is the guy we need. Look at these run numbers. They ran the ball down the throat.
Before you hang up.
I'm furious with you. I'm furious with them.
You can make an excuse for Bowen. He's brand new. We all know that. But where do you stand now? This is year three. No. I mean, anybody can, though, right? It's new. It's a new system, new players. I'm saying, but what about Shane and Daboll?
Yeah, I'm not high on them right now.
You got to give Bowen the season, but what about Shane and Daboll? If they continue to do this, are you doing a full rebuild? Like, let's start talking about that.
Yeah,
not just Daniel Jones. Everybody goes? Everyone?
I mean, if you're too inept to make sure that you go into the game and know that you have a kicker with an injury and you don't have a backup plan and you keep making the same mistakes because this happened against the Jets, yeah. I mean, I think he's on the hot seat. Absolutely. If this goes a certain way,
I want to see what it takes for you to say I'm ready for a total rebuild. Because I know your narrative. Oh, after week four, you know, you sit there and just forget all that anymore.
That's over. Well, you have to say
it's over. I know with the money and the injury.
He's gone.
The bigger talking point now is, and if you get rid of Shane and Daboll, Bowen's gone. The offensive coordinator, everybody's gone.
Everybody's starting over again. Yeah.
Once again,
If that's what it means, because I can't tolerate incompetence, I can't just hang around if I don't believe in the coach anymore. It's not ideal, but it is what it is. What should I do? What should they do? They need to start all over again. They certainly don't need to win six games, rally around the coach, and so you could say, hey, he rallied the troops and won a meaningless six games. Like, I can't do that anymore. That I can't do. Can't do it anymore. I'm tired of it. And no, did one good game against Washington change my opinion? I've seen him play well against Washington. It's not, and I've never said Daniel Jones is the worst thing I've ever seen. I've never said Daniel Jones is the worst quarterback in the NFL or he can't play. Like, I've said he's not good enough to win with. And then there are games like the first game of the year and like the game against the Cowboys and like the game last year against Seattle where he is particularly awful. He's inconsistent and he has games where he's miserable and then he has games where he's okay. And he's had two games in my memory, at least maybe if you want to include the very first game he played as a rookie against Tampa Bay when he first came in. But like in recent history, he's had two games where he was very good. The last game of the year against the Colts 2 years ago and then the playoff game against Minnesota. That's it. And maybe the second half against Arizona last year. That's it. I can point to a dozen games where he was awful and a bunch of games where he was so-so. He's not going to win. I don't believe he's the future of the franchise. I don't believe he's worth $40 million. I don't believe he's the guy. One game against Washington where he's not the problem doesn't change my mind. No, it doesn't. The Giants are in a place where I don't know what's the best way out. And I'm not far off just thinking losing every stinking game isn't the best way out. 888-808-1019. Let's take Danny real quick before we go to break. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Like in a pitching matchup tonight, we got Heel versus Wu.
Yeah.
And, I like their chances tonight. I also like their chances of going up another game on the on Baltimore because Blake Snell's pitching for the San Francisco Giants against the Orioles tonight.
Yeah.
So I think that would just help. But,
well, we'll see. I mean, they've played poorly against everybody. I know Detroit's been one of the hotter teams in the American League in the second half, but they just lost 2 out of 3 to them. They just aren't playing very well at all. Their lineup has gone cold, and they have too many injuries to the pitching. They've just not been a very good team now for a long time, and the Yankees, fortunately, have just been slightly better.
Definitely better. And I've been looking at the schedule. It looks like the Yankees have the easier schedule. I mean, Baltimore's finishing up against the Twins, so I definitely feel like the Yankees are going to win the division.
I mean, listen, I feel good about it. They're up 3 games now. I feel like the thing that makes me feel the best about it is honestly the pitching. The lineup's gone a little bit cold here. I know Judge finally is awoken from his slumber with the grand slam, which was one of the great moments. Is my probably favorite moment of the season, that grand slam, and I would, especially because it's against the Red Sox, and I would argue the only moment I've enjoyed better over the last handful of years was the grand slam from Stanton in Fenway in 2021 because of what it meant. Like, they were battling with the Red Sox for the wild card, and it was like a postseason game in Boston, and on that first fastball, Stanton saw he hit it out of the ballpark. It's the Red Sox call is one of my favorite calls. I love listening to the tears of Eckersley in that call. It's just wonderful. So that's my favorite moment in recent history. But the other night, that Friday night grand slam from Judge is right up there. Just a great moment. The offense has still been sputtering despite that. We really haven't seen the best of Juan Soto in a little bit now. I fully expect him to come out of it and be fine for the playoffs, but he's been struggling a little bit. But the pitching's been great other than Cole. And how do you not have faith in Cole at some level? He's been their ace despite only averaging 6.1 innings per start, when that's about as good as anybody in baseball. But right now it feels like Luis Gil's thrown nothing but good starts. Rodon has not only thrown good starts, but I feel like he's battled adversity slightly better. Like they made errors for him, and he battled back, and he didn't just fold. And that's my main concern, him not being able to deal with when things go wrong. And he's shown that the last couple of starts. Clark Schmidt back from injuries pitched really well, and we're getting the best out of Nestor. Never mind the fact that a bullpen that I thought was in shambles a mere 2 weeks ago is suddenly kind of loaded. Since they made the decision, and I was hesitant to do it, I was wrong. They made the decision to take Clay Holmes out of the closer position. And since then, Weaver stepped right in seamlessly. You got Canely pitching to an ERA under 2, and he's been great. Cousins and his slider is one of the better pitchers in baseball, and he's been great. Hamilton back from injury has been unstoppable. And Cole has now had 2 opportunities to pitch in meaningful games and has done well. Like right now, I feel like, and Hill, the lefty, you got 6 pitchers right now at the top of their game. The bullpen feels as good as it's felt at any point in the year. The rotation probably feels as good as it has, other than Cole, at any point in the year. And now Judge is waking up. I feel like they've been playing some of their best baseball recently, and the groups and the different areas of the team have kind of shored themselves up. So while they continue to flounder in Baltimore, they have a 3-game lead already, playing the Oakland A's, and then we'll end with Pittsburgh with the big series coming up in against Baltimore. If they could head into Baltimore no worse than they are now, if they go into Baltimore up 3 games and only have to win one, theoretically, I'll feel really confident. But yeah, no, I feel good about the Yankees winning the division. I do. I think they're I also just think flat out they're the better team. Baltimore's been bad. Bad.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, boy, 4:53. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's try and squeeze in as many phone calls as we can before 5 o'clock. Saquon Barkley dropping that pass. Mets and their win. Yankees and Mets both play tonight. Jets on Thursday night against New England. Should be fun. Those are the topics at hand right now. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, what is up?
Hey, Chris. What's happening, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
You know, Chris, you're a good guy, man. But you know, Brett's dad's crying his eyes out. He lost his 25 years. Why don't you offer to be his friend? Give me a phone number.
He has my phone number, and he calls me every morning. I feel like we have the relationship we're destined to have.
Okay, Chris, let's get on.
Maybe I'll join one of his 11 internet group chats.
11,
God. He's got 11 of them. And everyone hates him in every one of them. It's very weird.
To each his own, as I say. To each his own.
Yep.
All right, on football, here's a question for you. Do you think there's more poor coaching or poor quarterback play? When you got guys Sam Darnold coming back and Baker Mayfield and a Geno Smith, and you got guys that are playing kind of playoff football.
Yep.
Is it more the coaching, or is it more the player?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I actually just saw, I don't know where he was, and you know how much I don't like Tom Brady, so if I'm going to give him credit, then you know it's meaningful. He was talking about this, and he was talking about the programs college used to have and the development of quarterbacks that used to be, and how coaches these days dumb down on purpose their game plans and stuff, just to see if they can get the most out of these players who are forced into action right away. I think there's some of that. I think players, aren't ready for it right away. Like, I think Sam Darnold, it's about coaching, yes. It's also about just coming into his own. He could probably play better with a poor coach now than he could have when he first came out, or he could, he might not have been this good with a great coach in his first year. Like, it's a little bit of both, but I do think there's a lot of poor coaching, and I do think there's a lot of poor quarterback play. But if you're asking me specifically why so many of these quarterbacks have failed, I think most of them have a talent and an ability, and that's why they get drafted, and they're probably thrusted into action too soon and given some poor coaching. So, yeah, I would probably lean towards poor coaching. It's probably fair.
Right, because more quarterbacks have come back and played better than coaches have come to a different team.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of them. Alex Smith was kind of deemed a bust before he figured it out under Harbaugh the last year.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert hasn't been.
The guy who went to Detroit, my old quarterback.
Goff.
Said he was so good. He's playing good.
Yeah, I mean, he did take his first team to a Super Bowl. He hasn't taken the Lions to the same heights just yet. He's played better, no doubt, but not the best example. But there's a lot of examples. And say Herbert. Herbert's done nothing offensively these 2 weeks. They've won on defense. And running the ball, Dobbins has been incredible. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Christopher, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are we doing?
Good morning, good morning. The Mets have traditionally won with very good pitching. I realize the bats are dead quiet, Can we win it all with pitching?
Can you win it all with this pitching, or can you win only on pitching?
Can we win all with pitching and some hitting?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, anything's possible. You can. There have been teams who've done it. If the pitching is that good, I just find it hard to believe. And especially because I considered this team's strength. Now, I guess maybe I have to adjust what their strength is. But I think of this team as an offensive team. That's what I think of it. Heading into the season, I thought of it that way. When they were winning these games to get back into relevancy while they were 11 games under 500, and to get back into the things, they did it basically on offense. The pitching's always been solid and certainly better than you thought it was going to be, or we all thought it was going to be, but it wasn't dominant like it's been for the last month or so. But maybe I need to readjust what the strength of this team is, and maybe it is on pitching. But, you know, when guys like Iglesias and Taylor are the guys who are getting it done, and Marte are the guys who are getting it done, and you're getting nothing from J.D. Martinez, you're getting nothing from Nimmo, and you're getting nothing from Pete Alonso, and even, let's be fair, I know he had the big, you know, multi-home run game, that one limit game, you know, like 3 weeks ago now, 2.5 weeks ago. But even Vientos has really done nothing. He's been ice cold his last 40, 50 at-bats. So, like, those are the guys, when I think of the Mets and how they're going to win, I think of that lineup top to bottom and how devastating it can be. But maybe, you know, you got to start thinking about Severino and Minaya. And even the bullpen starting to come together a little bit. Buto had his first real dominant performance in a while. And even Reed Garrett's been much better as of late. So maybe they can do it on pitching, but they're going to need those clutch hits from guys like Iglesias. And I'd love to see Pete Alonso step up, but it's hard to do it strictly just on pitching and a couple of clutch hits here and there. Bernadette, thank you for calling. I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All right. Sorry, we ran out of time. I just can't stop rambling. But good to talk to you, Bernadette. Don't be knitting any ball gags. All right. That's it for me. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Giant fans, don't be bragging about Saquon Barkley. They lost the game. They scored 3 touchdowns and didn't give up any. Giants didn't have a kicker, and the Washington didn't need a punter. Let's focus on that. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. Let's go Mets. Let's go Yankees. The warm-up show is next. I'll catch you guys tomorrow a little early, probably right after Yankees Seattle. So I'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. I'm out of here. Sports Radio 101.